The Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 14th chapter. Jesus made the disciples get into the boat and go on ahead to the other side of the Sea of Galilee, while he dismissed the crowds. And after he had dismissed the crowds, he went up the mountain by himself to pray. When evening came, he was there alone. But by this time, the boat, battered by the waves, was far from the land, for the wind was against them. And early in the morning, he came walking toward them on the sea. But when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were terrified, saying, "It is a ghost." And they cried out in fear. But immediately Jesus spoke to them and said, "Take heart, it is I. Do not be afraid." Peter answered him, "Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water." Jesus said, "Come." So Peter got out of the boat, started walking on the water, and came toward Jesus. But when he noticed the strong wind, he became frightened. And beginning to sink, he cried out, "Lord, save me." Jesus immediately reached out his hand to him and caught him, saying to him, "You of little faith, why did you doubt?" When they got into the boat, the wind ceased. And those in the boat worshipped him, saying, "Truly, you are the Son of God." The Gospel of the Lord. Please be seated. Brothers and sisters in Christ, grace to you and peace from God the Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, it seems to me our Old Testament text this morning and our Gospel are really kind of about where you least expect to see God. And it reminds me that God is unpredictable. So often when we pray, we think we're asking God to do something. And then we're thinking that God might respond in a predictable way. But I think what we ought to remember is God comes to us in the unexpected. Sometimes in the wild and woolly, and sometimes in the still small voice, or as the NRSV has retranslated for us, sheer silence. The Old Testament text that Danielle read for us this morning from 1 Kings is a familiar text. It's about Elijah waiting for a word from God. Have you ever waited for a word from God? Where do you go to wait for a word from God? Well, Elijah went up the mountain. You know, that's where Moses encountered God. So, you know, if it's good enough for Moses, let's try it. And so Elijah goes up the mountain. And Elijah remembers, you know, when Moses encountered God, it was usually, you know, in the Big Bang kind of stuff. Earthquakes and winds and fires. So there's Elijah up on the mountain, and there was a great wind. And Elijah's thinking, where are you, God? I can't hear you. It's so windy, I can't hear you. No, God's not in the wind. And then there was an earthquake. Now, I don't know if anybody's been in California or any place during an earthquake. I don't have a lot of experience with earthquakes. But when the earth trembles beneath your feet, I imagine it would make one think that God is nearby. No, wasn't God speaking then either. And then there was a fire. And Elijah must have been thinking, you know, burning bush,
the brilliance of God, God's too bright to see, you have to cover your face kind of stuff. No. God wasn't in the fire. Now back in that day, if you had a great and mighty wind, an earthquake, and a big fire all at the same time, or within a short period of time, you would think you've pretty much encompassed all of the mightiness that the natural order has to pass on. So where is God? Where is God? How many times have you felt that way? When you've been challenged in grief, or your sense of self-worth is at the bottom of a pile of rubble, where is God? Or when you need an answer, or when you're hoping for a miracle, where is God? And for Elijah, it was that sheer silence. But in that sheer silence, God spoke volumes to him. Volumes. Now, hopefully none of us will ever get the kind of message that Elijah gets either. Okay, you need to go appoint two kings, and one's going to overtake the other, and then you're going to appoint the prophet to follow you, and, you know, this one, you know, odd messages. But the one message that God had for Elijah is, you are not alone. You are not alone. See, Elijah went up that mountain thinking he was the only person left on earth that was serving God. Have you ever felt that alone? God comes in the sheer silence and says, you are not alone. For Elijah, he said, there's 7,000 others. But more importantly, there is the presence of God. And then this wonderful, wonderful story from our gospel. And there are at least, I don't know, 18, 20 different sermons I could have preached on it this morning. So take this text home and ruminate on it, meditate on it, soak it up for all it's worth, because there's so much in there. So much in there to give you. You know, just take it home and let it speak to you, let it feed you, let it fill you. But what I'm thinking is, okay, last week Pastor Jeff Clement was here preaching on the feeding of 5,000. And this text happens immediately after that. The people disperse, they've been fed. The disciples and Jesus have had a long, long day. Imagine, you know, feeding basically a stadium full of people, serving them. Jesus goes off to a mountain to pray and sends the disciples by boat to sea. Now they're fishermen, so a storm wouldn't be a great cause of worry. But it's windy, and the waves are coming, and the wind beating against the side of the boat. But they don't really get freaked out until they think there's a ghost coming toward them. A ghost walking on the water. That's not something you see every day. And they're scared. But here's this marvelous, marvelous story about Peter, who has an idea that maybe it's not a ghost. And while everybody else is afraid, and I'm certain Peter is afraid too, he says, Lord, is that you? Is that you? If that's you, Okay, here's where faith gets exciting. Think about it. Okay, I like to fish, but I'm not a seaworthy person. And if I'm in a storm in a boat and the wind and the waves are doing all of this, I'm not going to be like, hey, that might be a ghost, that might be Jesus, but I'd like to get out in the water with him. Think about it, okay? We have pedestrianized the way we look at the Bible. By the way, Peter is the Greek word for rock. What do rocks do when they get in the water? Okay? Jesus had fun with words. But Peter gets out in the water with Jesus, in the wind and in the waves, and he's walking on water. Have you had those kind of faith moments? I know we've had them here as a church. You know, when we feel like we're walking on water. And then Peter took his eyes off Jesus, and he sank. There's a word there too. Sometimes when a church starts doing well, church starts patting itself on the back and forgets who they're following. That's a caution for every church member, all the time, every day, is to keep our eyes on who we're really following and who calls us out of the boat in the first place. Remember, if you're in a deep lake and it's not Jesus calling you to get out of the boat, don't get out of the boat. But the storm doesn't calm until Jesus gets in the boat with them. You see how rich this story is? Jesus gets in the boat, and the storm calms. And I have a couple of preacher friends who said, but what about Peter? You know, Jesus gets in the boat, and everybody starts worshiping Jesus. But don't you think, you know, they were kind of clapping Peter on the back too, going, that was cool, man. They started worshiping Jesus because Jesus was in the boat with them. Brothers and sisters in Christ, this is the good news for today. Whether Jesus calls any one of us out of the boat at any given time to do something bold and outlandish for Christ, it's possible. It's certainly possible. But we know for certain that Jesus gets in the boat with us and is ready to calm our storms with us if we will just ask. And by the way, as Beth is helping teach about symbols and such in the church and the words for things, one of the things that Audrey Darwin likes to point out is that the church, if you flip it upside down, looks like a boat. And in fact, the technical word for this big part of the church, this big open room in the church, is not sanctuary, it's nave. And do you know where the word nave comes from or where it goes to? Navy? Naval? Yeah. We're in the boat with Jesus. This is Jesus' boat. Fear not. And that is his word. Jesus says, take heart. It is I. Don't be afraid. Actually, in the Greek, he doesn't say it is I. He says, I am. Just like when you go back to the Old Testament and Moses is looking for God's name, Jesus says, I am. Me too. One quick story. When I was 5 years old, I nearly drowned once. I was at a lake, and I was out in the swimming area with my sister, and I was playing with one of those floaty things. I don't know what it was a sea monster or something that I was floating on. I fell off the floaty thing, and I went under the water. And I didn't know up or down or anything. All I knew is I was underwater and I couldn't breathe. And I remember how scared I was. I couldn't breathe, and it was just so scary. And it was just at the point where I just wanted to inhale even though I was underwater, when a hand reaches up and grabs me from the backside and pulls me up. And I realized I was only about 3 feet of water. Because I didn't know which way was up and which way was down. That nav is also the root for navigation. Keep your eye on Jesus. And no matter what storm you're going through, He's not going to let you drown. May the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.